Father, we thank you. Lord, you know I am empty. And Lord, I am hungry. I want to see you. I want to hear you. I desire so much because, Lord, your love has been poured in my heart. I love you, Lord. And I know you love me. And I know you love all your creation. Every one of us on this broadcast, everyone watching this live, or even the recorded, the repeated broadcast, you love us and you send your word to heal us, to fix us, to deliver us from that which can destroy us. So we come humbly. We come because you said come. We come because, Lord, we are hungry. We come because you love us. We come because it's your spirit that draws us. So tonight, Holy Spirit, as you are hovering upon our hearts, prepare our hearts, turn our hearts like the heart of kings into a good ground. Send your word. Speak your word to us. Remind us of the words of Jesus. Bring us to that place of repentance tonight. Bring us to that place where we are just partaking, we are eating, we are hearing, and our faith is stirred up and our hearts prepared, ready to do whatever you say to us. Lord, as I hear, I speak. I know nothing except what you reveal. Thank you for revealing yourself again. Thank you for revealing Jesus. And thank you, for we indeed are the bride of Christ. Your bride, you love us, and you have prepared the table for us. Father, feed us. Holy Spirit, speak, teach, guide, instruct. And Lord Jesus, our great high priest, thank you for praying for us even right now. In the name of Jesus, amen. And talking about the word of the Lord, when the word comes, the Bible tells us two things happen. There is healing, there is deliverance. Now, the Bible also tells us that when the word enters, that is, enters our hearts, the entrance of the word, it brings light, gives understanding to the simple. The Bible tells us that the word of God does not return to God void. That word does not, his word never falls to the ground unfulfilled. So as the word is coming tonight, it's about to fulfill, to accomplish what God pleases. Be ready tonight to receive. Be ready to be healed. Be ready to be delivered. Be ready for that word to enter and bring light and give understanding to the simple. Be ready and be ready to be delivered from that which can destroy you, but will not destroy you in the name of Jesus. You know, I was meditating and I was, Lord, what are you saying to us at this time? I trust the word of the Lord to always be fresh. And I realized that God has been dealing with me as God has been dealing with us, especially in the last 7 days of the past month of October. We are just coming from the back of a seven-day retreat where we stopped. We were instructed to stop, to listen, and to hear what God will say, to consider the wondrous works of God, and to behold what God is doing. And I remember it was on day seven, and on that day seven, I was just instructed tonight to share, you know, what I would say the dealings of God with me, you know. And the first thing I heard, and I will be operating tonight, thank you, Holy Spirit, there will be some word of knowledge, word of wisdom, word of healing. I trust that God is healing somebody even right now. The fact that you just came, your burdens are lifted, your yokes are destroyed. Everything you're going through that is hard becomes easy tonight. Heavy becomes light in the name of Jesus. Listen, I heard the word repentance. And the word repentance I heard is giving me a new definition, us a new definition of that word repentance. You see, repentance is not just being sorry. Repentance is not you did something or I did something bad and I got caught and I'm sorry. Because we can be sorry for being caught. We can be sorry for doing something and then it's pointed out to us we've done something. And we feel like, it's happened, I've done something. Listen, repentance is number one, This is what God was dealing with me about, taking full responsibility for the wrong action that you and I have taken. Number one, I take full responsibility for my actions rather than giving excuses for the action. And listen to this, especially blaming somebody else for the wrong action. When I repent, repentance starts from me taking full responsibility. Yes, it's a wrong action. I took the wrong action. I made a wrong decision. But you know what? I am not blaming anybody. I am not giving excuses. I have done it. I have been discovered. Or even if I'm not discovered, but I'm convicted, I take full responsibility. You know, the way God deals with me at times, an incident in the past will just flow through my heart. At times when God wants to give me a message for people, God will take me through an experience I had. And through that experience, the lessons I've learned, God will be telling me to tell the person or the people about what I learned through that experience. And God was showing me an action I took, a decision I made, because I was influenced to make that decision. I made up my mind I wouldn't do it, but because of influence, pressure, I decided, okay, maybe I should listen to these people, and I took the action. And of course, what I was expecting or what was expected didn't happen. I was now angry that for the people who came to put me under pressure, I'm sure many of us can identify with things like that. So rather than taking full responsibility that I took the action, even though I was influenced, I was blaming other people for the wrong action I took, which I shouldn't have taken, which I knew and made a decision I wouldn't take. So if you are hearing these words tonight and you are blaming somebody even though they influenced you to take a decision, then you are not fully repented, said the Lord. I take full responsibility. I took this action. I have the ability to make a choice, no matter the influence, no matter the pressure. So that is what repentance is. I take full responsibility. That's number one. And number two, I ask for God's mercy. You see, the mercy of God prevails over judgment. So let's start on that note of repentance. Because listen, if we're not repentant, if we don't have that contrite heart, if we don't take that full responsibility and then plead for mercy, then we will not experience God's mercy. God is merciful. Listen, somebody hearing this, God wants to take you to the next level. But do you know what's hindering you? You are not receiving God's mercy. And do you know how you're not receiving the mercy? Because you are still blaming somebody else for that action. You are still not taking full responsibility for that action. You're asking for God's mercy, but you are not taking full responsibility. You are still blaming someone while asking God for mercy. Listen, it doesn't work that way. A broken and a contrite heart, the Bible says, God will not reject, despise. God will not put you away. Take full responsibility. You know, one day I was fellowshipping and this came to me also. You know, imagine you stand before the judgment throne on the last day. You are before the judgment throne and God is asking you, why didn't you do what I asked you to do? And then you begin to blame your wife. You begin to blame your friends. You begin to blame your neighbors. You begin to blame every other person. Do you know it doesn't hold water? Somebody's asking, but they influenced me, but they did what was wrong. And I only took the action out of influence. Listen, can you come with us tonight and remember the book of Genesis chapter 3? God had instructed Genesis 1, Genesis 2, especially to the first man, Adam and Eve. Don't eat of this tree. The day you eat of this tree, you will die. The day you eat of this tree, in short, you are going to be cut off from my life, from the life of God, from eternal life. You are going to introduce so many things, because dying involves, you know, our body deteriorating, sicknesses, diseases, illnesses, all sorts of things start happening. You know what happened? Of course, Eve went and took of the fruit. But rather than taking full responsibility, what did Eve say? The serpent, the devil, influenced me to eat of the fruit. Listen, that did not hold water with God. And when God confronted the man, why did you eat? Do you know what he said? He even blamed God. It's the woman you gave me that gave me the fruit. Just to let us know, we will not experience God's full mercy if you are not ready to take full responsibility for your action, irrespective of the fact that you were influenced by someone or some things or pressures to take that decision. So on that note tonight, the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all unrighteousness as you take full responsibility. As we partake of the blood of cleansing, you will be cleansed, purged. Your conscience will be free once and for all, and you will be a partaker, an experience of God's mercy tonight. Amen. Tonight, three things. Three times that God stops for his bride. That is the word for tonight. So stop to listen. We're going to see three places in where God stopped for his bride. The bride of Christ. If you are asking me who's the bride of Christ, come with us tonight to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 19. And we will be reading from verse 1 to 5, verse 5, verse 6 to 8, and then we will read from verse 9 to 10. So if you're wondering, when you hear the bride of Christ, who's the bride of Christ? Okay, let's read from chapter 1 of Revelation. Let's define the bride first. It's communion and healing, but it's important we hear this word in its simplicity. It says, after these things, I heard a loud voice of great multitude in heaven, saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory, honor and power belong to the Lord our God. Listen, I feel like singing tonight, and that's a song for someone. I'm receiving this song for you. Sing this song over and over. Hallelujah, salvation and glory, honor and power to the Lord our God. For the Lord our God is mighty, for the Lord our God is omnipotent, for the Lord our God is wonderful. Hallelujah. Salvation and glory, honor and power to the Lord our God. Listen, that's your song. That will be your new song. That's the song the Spirit of God is giving you. Sing that song. Okay? The Bible says, he puts a new song in my mouth. At times, what we called old songs are actually new songs when we catch the revelation. Now, you see where that scripture for that song, the words of that song is lifted from. So let's move on. So the great multitude in heaven were saying, hallelujah, salvation, glory, and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. Verse 2, for true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and has avenged on her blood, on her, the blood of his servants shed by her. Verse 3, Revelation chapter 19. Again, they said, hallelujah. Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and 4 living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who sat on the throne, saying, amen. Hallelujah. Now, let's pause there again. I don't know why songs are just coming to me, but someone tonight, that's your song. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. There's an old song that is sprang up ringing in my heart, and God is giving that person a new song again. Just worship and just keep singing, amen, hallelujah. Amen, hallelujah. Amen, hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen, hallelujah. Amen, hallelujah. Amen. That's the new song God is giving you. It's an old song, but it's put a new song in your mouth. I don't know why I'm flowing tonight in this manner, but just flow with us tonight. The Spirit of God is stirring up someone's remembrance. As I was singing that song, the Spirit of God took you back to an event or something that happened around a period or season of your life many years ago. And that song was the song that was being sung. And God is saying, remember what happened then. Remember the experience then. Remember the instruction you were given. Remember what you learned. And that's why he's stirring that up again in your heart, bringing you back to that place of remembrance. All right, let's move on. Thank you, Holy Spirit, number chapter 5. Then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. Verse 6, listen. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and the sound of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. And verse 7, your guess is as good. The Spirit of God is stirred up someone again with this song. Let us rejoice and be glad, giving the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Let us rejoice and be glad, giving the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the bride has made herself ready. Hallelujah, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Listen, it says, let us rejoice, let us be glad, let's give him the glory. The marriage of the Lamb has come, and the King James Version says the bride has made herself ready. So the bride of Christ is the wife of Christ. Who is this bride of Christ? The Bible says, and it was granted in verse 8 to her to be arrayed in fine linen and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saint. Verse 9, then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Who is this bride? Who is the one that God wants to clothe and array with fine linen? You and I. But there's a question which we'll be examining as we go deeper in the Bible study this month, especially of November. You the bride, I am the bride. Am I ready? Are you ready to receive this fine linen, to be clothed? Are you ready? Now, that should stir some things up And I'm receiving a word of knowledge right now for someone you want to marry, and God is asking you, are you ready? That question is an answer that your heart will reveal to you personally. And if you are not ready, sincerely admit you're not ready and tell God to help you to make you ready. You're praying for marriage. You're praying for a life partner. And the Spirit of God is asking, sincerely, are you ready? Now, I remembered a while ago that, you know, God was showing me, and the question came to me that, have you ever seen any marriage ceremony that took place and the bride was not clothed? The bride was not made ready. You know how a wedding ceremony happens? The groom is always ready. The groom comes in first. The groom is waiting. And the bride has been made up, decked in, you know, the wedding gown, and the bride comes in. If the bride has not dressed up and made ready in the wedding gown, no wedding takes place. Listen, the Spirit of God is saying that's what's delaying your day of marriage. You are not ready. Get ready. Receive his clothing. Receive what he wants to put on you. Receive the fine linen. Let's look at exactly, and the Spirit of God will expand this to someone right now. Listen to what he wants to put on you. Number one, let's look at verse 8. It was granted to her to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. Clean and bright. Fine linen, clean and bright. Holy Spirit, please expound and expand this to this person listening. Is your linen fine, clean, bright? And now look at the definition of the fine linen. The fine linen is the righteous acts of his saints. The righteous acts. Are your actions currently righteous? Are you in right standing with God? Are you taking a stand, the same stand God will take, that Christ will take? You know, are you standing where God will stand? Are you taking a stand? And it's a righteous stand, irrespective of the pressures of life, irrespective of what everybody's throwing at you. Listen, if your linen is not clean and bright, ask for cleansing. That's why we are partaking of the blood tonight. This is not a word of condemnation. Receive cleansing tonight. Receive the finesse, the cleansing, the purging by the blood of Jesus as we go to the communion table. And your linen will be clean, will be fine, will be bright by the blood of Jesus. And start taking a stand, the same stand Christ will take. You know, recently we heard about something, and I will be sharing this with, you know, us later, especially those of us domiciled in Liverpool. And, you know, recently we've been praying about a particular, you know, property. And then, of course, we got wind that the property was going to be acquired, you know, and used for something very, very unrighteous. I don't want to say it on air. And the funds that was going to be used to purchase the property were questionable. You know, money that was about to be cleaned, laundered. And of course, you know, we were outsmarted out of acquiring the property. And Of course, you know, we can say, yeah, you know, at times we just surrender and say, well, maybe it's not the will of God and all that. Maybe it's not for us. But then the Spirit of God stirred my heart. If Jesus was here, what stand will Jesus take? Knowing that a church building is about to be bought with dirty money and to be used for something unrighteous, that what will Jesus do? And I thought to myself, and I felt the anger, you know, righteous indignation. Pardon my King James putting together of English. Jesus went into the temple and found out they were using the temple for every other thing except the house of prayer. Jesus went in there and cleansed the place out. It was, the Bible said, he said, the zeal of the house of the Lord had eaten me up. He was angry and drove everybody out. This righteous indignation welled up in me. I called a few people. We are going to stop this. That property is not going to be used for anything other than what it was originally, even if God is saying that it's not our property. We took authority and we got information that whoever it was has backed out of that property. And you know what? I've told God, why is our heart still on this property? In the name of Jesus, and I'm saying this, that which is yours, that which belongs to the church, belongs to the church. No one will take that which belongs to you. And I command right now, in the name of Jesus, as the scriptures say, the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands into iniquity. That which is yours, that which the wicked has laid hands upon, which is yours, in the name of Jesus, the hand of the wicked, the hand of the enemy, be removed from that which is yours, which is your property, which is your God-given, in the name of Jesus. You will not put forth your hand into iniquity. It will not happen. I command every satanic stronghold upon you, upon your family, upon your children, upon your health to be removed now. That evil hand is cut off from your life. The evil influence is cut off. Every evil association cut off. You are delivered. Jesus has set you free. He that Jesus sets free is free indeed. In the name of Jesus. You are the bride of Christ. So let's look at three, and I will round up now. Three times that God stops for his bride. Genesis chapter 2. The Bible tells us that when God created the heavens and the earth, on the seventh day, on the sixth day, God created, you know, it commanded the earth to bring forth. And out of the earth, God created mankind, you and I. And God commanded that earth to be fruitful. And I'm saying to you right now, in the name of Jesus, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. God is resetting your life. You are becoming fruitful. As you partake tonight of his body, of the body of Jesus and blood of Jesus, every unfruitfulness, everything blocking your multiplication, your replenishing, your subduing and taking dominion over the earth, over the space, over the domain God has called you onto, in the name of Jesus, everything hindering you is removed. You are fruitful. You keep on multiplying. You keep on replenishing and subduing in the name of Jesus. So God rested on the seventh day. Do you know what that means? Rest means stop. Because of mankind, because of everything God created for his bride, that's mankind, God stopped. Do you know what he stopped to do? He stopped to bless everything that he had made, including you, the greatest creation. You are his bride. He stopped to bless everything. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended. God stopped his work which he had done. And he did what? He rested on that seventh day from all his work, including you, the greatest work which he had made. He stopped to bless you. He stopped to bless me. Then God blessed the seventh day, sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which he had created and made. Now let's run to Exodus chapter 20 and see what God commanded, because you are entering into your rest, God's rest for you. In Exodus chapter 20, and if we read from verse number 8, and we read verse 9 to verse 9, Exodus 20, verse 8 and to 9, see what God commanded. God was saying to you and to me, he has stopped to bless you. We see God stopping in order to bless. It now says, remember the Sabbath, which means rest. Keep it holy. Holy means sanctified, to be separated. Separate yourself. Stop what you are doing and rest in me, says the Lord. The Lord is saying to somebody, you've been running helter-skelter. And the more you run helter-skelter, you're just going to be gathering dust and all manner of things. God is saying, stop, rest. When you rest, I have blessed your rest. I have stopped to bless you, but you must stop to receive my blessing. He says, remember the Sabbath, the rest, keep it holy. And then what did he say again? Let's read on. He now said in verse number 9, 6 days you shall labor, do all your work. Verse 10, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God, my daddy, your daddy. In it you shall not do any work. You shall not labor and do all your work, right? You shall not do any work. Let's read on. But the seventh day, the Sabbath of the Lord your God, in it you shall do no work, nor your son, nor your daughters, nor your male servant. In other words, stop. If you don't stop to receive, God has stopped to bless you. If you don't stop, you will not receive the blessing. We need to stop to receive the blessing. That's the first time God stops. He stopped because of his bride to bless the bride. Right? Now your male servant, let's read on. Now your female servant, now your cattle, now your stranger, which is within your gates. Verse 11, for in 6 days, let's read verse 11. Verse 11, for in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, all that is in it, and he rested on that seventh day. Why? He stopped to bless. Number two place where God stopped because of his bride. Come with us to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And we will see here what provoked him to stop. Here, Jesus, the manifested word of God, the word of God made flesh. Let's see what Jesus did here. Jesus, one day, he was going in Luke chapter 18. Let's go to Luke and chapter 18. And as he was going, he had where he was going from verse number 35. Luke chapter 18 from verse number 35. Luke chapter 18. Sorry, I'm trying to read here. Okay. Here, look at where he was going. Jesus had his destination. He had where he was going. Where was he going? He was going to Jericho. And then a certain blind man sat by the roadside begging. Right? Jesus going to Jericho, he had his destination, he had his agenda, he had his plan, all sorted out. But then a blind man was by that roadside that day begging. I put it to you, that was not the first time that man sat by that roadside. That was not the first time that blind man begged. He was always by the roadside begging. He was known as a beggar. That was his profession. Someone who teaches is a teacher. Someone who preaches is a preacher. Someone who begs is a beggar. That was a professional, that was like a profession in those days for those who are poor, for those who are at times, indisposed, who are weak, those who are, what's the word now I'm looking for, less abled. It was like a profession. And in those days, they had even a uniform. In those days, in the historical context here, they had a uniform. So when a blind person wears this uniform, you know he's blind and he's a beggar. So that was his profession. You know, professions, if you work in McDonald's, you're given a uniform. If you work as a hair hostess, you're given a uniform. Now his profession was a beggar. And I'm saying this to someone, God is tearing that garment you've been wearing for years. But time will fail us. For God to tear that garment, you've got to take it off and do something tonight as we come to the communion table. Now, what did this man do? The Bible said, a certain blind man sat blind, verse 36, hearing a multitude passing by, he asked. He didn't even know what was happening, but he asked. And when he was told, listen, this is interesting. They told him Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. They told him, right? He asked, he listened, and he heard. Faith comes by hearing. And they told him, like you're hearing now, that Jesus is here, is passing by. He may not have set out because of you, but because of you, he will stop. Listen. So, the Bible now says, follow, some of us know the story, but you are hearing something new tonight. He cried out saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Listen, we started by saying, if you and I want to obtain mercy, two things. You must accept full responsibility for your action. And don't blame anybody or give any excuse for your action. And secondly, ask and receive the mercy. He cried for mercy. And listen, let's see what happened when he cried for mercy. The Bible says, those who went before him, they warned him, be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. You've been crying for mercy. God has heard your cry for mercy. But listen, take full responsibility. Repent. That's what repentance is. Take full responsibility. Stop giving excuses. Stop blaming other people. Your mercy will be received by yourself if you learn to repent. It says, Son of David, have mercy. Verse 40. Second time. We're talking about three times that God stopped for his bride. The Bible says Jesus stood still. He stopped because a man cried for mercy. And then he commanded that it should be brought to him, and he asked him, look at this now. What do you want me to do for you? Do you know this is a deep question? He could have asked Jesus, give me money, make me rich. I don't want to beg anymore. He could have asked Jesus for anything. But he asked him, so that specifically, this man could specifically tell Jesus what he wanted. You see, if you read another account, he, first of all, threw off that uniform. That is taking full responsibility. That uniform, life put it on him, the uniform of a beggar. That uniform, faith put it on him, the uniform of a beggar. He took full responsibility. If time will fail, I will have showed you the account where he actually threw the garment off. He took full responsibility. He didn't ask anybody to take that garment off. Yes, they put the garment on him. Yes, they labeled him a beggar. Yes, they probably introduced him that that's your profession for life. But he took the garment off. And Jesus said, what do you want? He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And then verse 42 tells us what? Jesus said to me, receive your sight. Now, don't miss this. Your faith has made you well. Your personal. The man took full responsibility for his own healing. He didn't blame his parents or blamed nature or blamed the doctor. We don't know how he got blind. The Bible didn't really tell us, right? Because there was an account of another man who was born blind. You know, he didn't blame the parents' genotype. He didn't blame the genes of. He didn't blame nobody. He took full responsibility. He cried for mercy. And his faith, personal responsibility, made him whole. Well, glory be to God Almighty. The Bible says immediately he received his sight, followed him. Personal responsibility again. Personal action. Glorifying God. And all the people saw it, gave praise to God. The same people who were telling him, keep quiet, now started rejoicing with him. I tell you, someone listen, stop listening, stop bowing to pressure. Stop blaming people for pressurizing you. They pressurized this man not to cry for mercy. They pressurized this man, Bartimaeus, not to throw away that uniform, that garment of mourning that only earned him a pittance once in a while. That is another picture of repentance to obtain mercy. Finally, when God stops for his bride, the third place is finally, let's look at Luke, and the same Luke. This time, we're going to the communion table now, people. Luke chapter 7. Thought three times. The topic again tonight, if we can display. Three times, God stopped for his bride. That is you. God will stop for you. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verse 11. And you know the story? Hear it in a different way. The Spirit of God is saying to us tonight to stop. The Bible says, now it happened the day after. He went into a city called Nain. That's Jesus. Many of the disciples went with him and a large crowd. And the Bible says this. Look at what happened next. When he came near to the city gate, the gate of the city, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When you see crowds in those days, professional mourners, everyone, it's a procession to go and bury the dead. And the Bible says, look at it. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Then he came, touched the open coffin Look at it. And those who carried him stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. Jesus this time stops a funeral procession to raise a man who was dead, to raise the dead back to life. I hear the Spirit of God saying to someone, it's time for you. I say to you, arise. The dead is coming back to life. The Bible says, women, they received their dead back to life by faith. Faith comes by hearing. The word you heard tonight, the third time we see God stop for his bride, you, me, was to raise the dead. Hallelujah. The Bible says, so he who was dead sat up, began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Listen, you've seen three times. Many times God stops, but these three, the Spirit of God is bringing us to that place to hear tonight. I believe so strongly this is what God is saying to someone or some people. First time, he's stopping to bless. Second time, he's stopping to show mercy and heal the blind. Third time, he's stopping to raise the dead. Are you in any of this? Let's go to the communion table as we pray tonight. And joining me, please, those who are in the studio with us, let's go to the communion table. Let's begin to talk to the Lord. For me to receive the first blessing, I need to stop. For me to receive the second blessing, the three times that God stopped, we've seen tonight, I need to repent, cry for mercy. For me to receive the third blessing, look at it. This was his prerogative. He was moved with compassion. I'm here to tell somebody, God loves you. Yes, we don't know why the young man died, but God used his prerogative. He stopped to show mercy and raise the dead. All right, let's go to the communion table tonight. Father, I pray. Please pray for yourself. Let's talk to the Lord. Have you been running helter-skelter and you are hearing the word stop? Stop to receive my blessing. Stop to rest. You have toiled all night. You've caught nothing. But I'm stopping you. And I'm speaking, I want to speak to you. You can't hear my voice until you stop. You can't receive that blessing until you stop. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over everyone who had your word. I know as your word was going forth, you were confirming with signs following. I know you are healing. I know you are setting free. I know you are bringing light, illumination. You are giving understanding. I know your word has not gone and return void. Your word has gone forth, will not fall to the ground, will accomplish that which you please. And as we come in remembrance, as we stir up remembrance tonight through the eating, Lord, of your body, you said to do, to remind ourselves of you, of what you have done, of the fact that you are the resurrection, you are the life. Is there anything too hard for you? To remind ourselves of your word, of who you are, what you are. You are Jehovah. You are salvation. You are everything. We receive your word tonight and thank you for stopping to bless us. Thank you for stopping to show us mercy and healing us, removing that which is blocking our vision. Thank you for stopping your prerogative to show us mercy and raise the dead back to life. Father, we thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Please pray right now. Let me give us a minute or two to just pray and talk to God. Talk, talk, talk. You have to express yourself right now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Father, glory be to your name. Salvation to our God who sits upon the throne. Hallelujah, salvation to our God who sits upon the throne. Oh, the bride, we your bride, we're ready. We are ready. We are ready. We receive fine linen. We receive cleansing. We are bright. Yes, though our sins are red, like crimson, like scarlet, you will make it white as snow. We receive mercy. We take full responsibility for our actions. Ah, Lord, I will not blame anybody anymore. I will take full responsibility. I receive and I ask as I receive mercy in the name of Jesus. Thank you for stopping to bless me, to bless your people, to bless my family, to bless the work of my hands. Hey, I rest from my own works. I rest from my own toil. I say, Lord, yes, I have toiled. I've tried all I could. I've caught nothing, but your word has come tonight. And I will not just cast the net. I am casting nets. I am throwing out everything you are asking me to throw out to be ready to receive a harvest. I hear the word harvest, harvest, harvest. Randa habasete kititititit prakura hataba. Libra, said the Lord, three things. You ask the Lord for. Before 31st of December, they will manifest. They will come to pass. Physical manifestation. Glory be to your name. From the day you prayed, said the Lord, the Prince of Persia, principalities that are withholding everything from being released into physical manifestation, they are bound. They are stopped. We resist every delay. Ah, Rabo Sakatela, delay, delay. Every delay removed in the name of Jesus. Somebody just say, Lord, I'm ready. I am ready. I strip myself of that garment, of that uniform you have not given me. I take on the fine linen. I take on the bright, the clear, the fine linen. My acts right now shall be righteous acts. I take a stand. A righteous act, a righteous stand. I am not influenced and I'm not going to succumb to any satanic evil influence. I cut off every wrong association in my life now in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you. All right, everybody, get the communion ready. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Get the bread ready, people. And get the blood of Jesus symbolic. Anything you have that reminds you of the blood of Jesus, the fruit of the vine, get it ready. Jesus said, do this often, because often we forget. But he says, do it often so that you and I can remember. I received of the Lord that which I also delivered to you. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, bless this bread as we bring them to you. Infuse it with your power. Let the blood of Jesus, everything the blood of Jesus was battered, bruised for, every iniquity laid on that body that you took away, be removed from our lives in the name of Jesus. And I bless the bread. I bless everything symbolic of your body that your people are holding on right now. And I say, as this remembers, is stirred up in our hearts, the manifestation of every iniquity that you've taken away, that you've laid upon yourself. Let that manifestation, let us experience the manifestation of that deliverance in the name of Jesus. It says the Lord Jesus, on the same night which he was betrayed, he took bread. Please take the bread. And the Bible says, when he had given thanks, give thanks right now. Father, I thank you for delivering me. I thank you for stopping to bless me. I thank you for stopping to show me mercy and give me and return my sight, my vision back to me. I thank you for raising the dead. Everything dead out of my life, dead in my life, dead out of my body, dead in my bones, water. The dead receive their life now. I thank you. Please thank him for everything you have received tonight, what you've heard, and don't let your thanksgiving stop now. All right? Break the bread, the Bible said. He gave thanks, he broke it, and said, take it. This is my body which is broken for me. For you, do this in remembrance of me. This is just symbolic. Break it. Every yoke upon your life is broken, and eat it. Just let's take the communion wine, the blood of Jesus. In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, Father, thank you because you've forgiven me all my sins. I take full responsibility for all my actions. I repent tonight and I receive mercy. And God is saying to someone, a sign that you've received mercy is that you also will leave this communion table tonight to go and show somebody mercy. Blessed are those who are merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Father, thank you. Jesus said, this cup is the new testament covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Listen, the covenant in the blood of Jesus begin to work for you. The stronger one makes covenant with the weaker. The strength of the stronger becomes the strength of the weaker. In the name of Jesus, wherever you are weak, God's strength is made perfect in your weakness. If you're watching this and you're in a hospital bed or you're sick in any way, I send the word of healing to you and word of deliverance. Rise from that bed. You are discharged from that hospital bed now. In the name of Jesus, receive healing. Remember, he forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. Arise and shine. Arise, sit up like that dead man, and you are healed, and walk out of that hospital with your own feet, healed, set free, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please drink. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that which you have done. Thank you for the testimonies. Yes, please start sending those testimonies. Some of us are healed instantly. Some of us, you start amending. By this time tomorrow, 24 hours, you will have received the news. I hear the word good news from a far country. Good news for a far country. Yes, as cold waters is to a thirsty soul. Because you have thirsted tonight, you are hungry, you have been fed, you have God has quenched that thirst. You will receive, listen, I'm saying this again, good news from a far country. What has been far away from you, what has eluded you, what has you have been seeing it from afar, you're going to embrace it because it's near, it's here and now, in Jesus' name. God bless you and good night and bye for now.